You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome you in to the gym class here in KGYM. Great to have you aboard as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Presented by DUPACO Community Credit Union. They're online at DUPACO.com. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by checking them out at DUPACO.com. They are celebrating their 75th anniversary in business in 2023. Scott Unash with you on a Tuesday from our studios on the southwest side. Mark Dukes joining me from his back porch in a moment. And Isaac on the other side of the glass, along with Spencer, making me very hungry a little bit earlier on, talking about fair food. Nothing better than fair food, whether it's the Iowa State Fair, the Minnesota State Fair, or the Great Wisconsin State Fair. I mean, that is the triumvirate of food as far as state fairs are concerned. And that's a subject for another day. We got a lot to talk about on the program here today. Obviously, since we talked with you last, Pat Fitzgerald, no longer the head coach of football at Northwestern. We will talk about that. Also, we'll talk about actual on-the-field football a little bit. As 24/7 Sports, their panel of Big Ten writers, etc., talking about the 2023 season and their thoughts about it, and that includes David Eicholt and Sean Bach. Well, we'll touch upon that. Home Run Derby from last night, as well as the All-Star Game coming up tonight. All that and more here on the Gym Class program for a Tuesday on KGYM. Text line available to you if you'd like to reach out to us. Love to hear from you. Always appreciate our listeners chiming in. 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. That is a phone line as well at 319-366-1600 here on this Tuesday in Eastern Iowa on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, in Iowa City, 106.3 FM, KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Happy All-Star Day to you, Mark.
Thank you. You too, Scott. Good afternoon. Good afternoon to Isaac and everyone out there. And yeah, as I understand it, 60 new fair foods at the Iowa State Fair. How about that?
Isaac was talking about it. What jumped out at you after you made my mouth water a little bit ago?
There was the only thing was on a stick, but the strawberry shortcake thing that Spencer said sounded pretty good. But it's just on a stick, so I'm not sure how messy that would get. Otherwise, it sounded great.
I think that the one thing that did not sound good was cookie dough on a stick. No, I'm passing on the cookie dough on a stick.
There was also I can't remember it now. I'm already forgetting. It was like a raspberry grilled cheese, fried grilled cheese, or something like that. That I didn't know how the raspberry really tied in there.
As long as you can adhere it to a stick with something else, and it's a kitschy food that you can only get at a fair.
They'll find a way to make it there, I guess.
Do it.
Yeah, might as well.
And the majority of it is fried.
Majority of it will be fried.
Yeah, this is not good for people watching their weight, cholesterol, et cetera. We're just going to throw that out there. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class on KGYM. And yesterday we were talking about what coach was going to be in the spotlight today. Well, it's Pat Fitzgerald again. Last night, as a matter of fact, after local programming went off the air, Pat Fitzgerald, it was announced, no longer the head football coach at Northwestern, Mark. And this, I'm not going to say wraps up a 4-day whirlwind as far as Pat Fitzgerald hazing Northwestern football, et cetera, because we've got a long way to go as far as this situation is concerned. But at least right now, Pat Fitzgerald is out. as the head football coach. Now, with that being said, Pat Fitzgerald then came out last night. He has lawyered up, and he's done it in a big, big way with a very prestigious law firm. He is fighting. I'm not sure which one yet, which part of this yet. Is he fighting to keep his job as Northwestern football coach, or is he fighting more for 42 million reasons to get that money that contractually is obligated to him at the present time? Because he is saying that, okay, here's the original penalty being the 2-week suspension, which came out last Friday, if you can remember back that far. Now, of course, he has been terminated as a football coach. At the very least, he wants his $42 million, Mark, right?
I think that's the main objective right now. And Pat Fitzgerald, the second longest tenured Big Ten football coach behind Kirk Ferentz, before he was fired. Also, news today that the athletic director at Northwestern has informed Fitzgerald's assistants that they will be retained, which is a head-scratcher to me. It tells me, oh, only Pat Fitzgerald knew about this. Listen, I've thought a lot about this, Scott, and I can't help but think Pat Fitzgerald knew, or at least he should have known. Now, I understand how difficult it is to keep track of 100, 125 employees. Hell, it was a problem keeping track of 15 when I ran the Gazette sports department. And that was before Twitter and Facebook. You can't keep track of everybody's actions. However, a CEO, which Fitzgerald was, if he can't be everywhere, he's going to point somebody to monitor the locker room, monitor this, monitor that, get back to him. And maybe he did, and those people didn't want to blow a whistle. I don't know those facts. But at a minimum, I think Pat Fitzgerald should have known. And to put this in a category, I must say, of Kirk Ferentz is stupid. Iowa's situation was racist in nature. Go ahead and research it. There's no mention of Iowa hazing. Racism is bad. What Iowa did was not good. If Fitzgerald was fired, why wasn't Kirk Ferentz? Some say, well, number one, don't look at the low-hanging fruit, Gary Barta, okay? That's an easy way out. Gary's a scapegoat in many people's mind. This went all the way to the president, as it should in these types of cases. Iowa's president didn't act to release Kirk Ferentz. Is it the same as Joe Paterno? God, no. Just stop with that stuff. It is its own case. And fortunately, Pat Fitzgerald is gone. He's demonstrated he's a terrific football coach. But the culture's been lost there, and so has Fitzgerald's job.
319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program at KGYM on a Tuesday. Again, not handled very well, even the firing of Pat Fitzgerald, the university president, as well as the athletic director at Northwestern University, did not handle the firing well with the team. Did not meet the team face-to-face. That has ruffled a lot of feathers as far as the Wildcat football program is concerned and the actual players. listen, there's no handbook to doing this. I agree with you, Mark. I think that Fitzgerald had to have known. I also agree with you. I'm a little taken aback by the fact that all the assistants are going to be back. You need somebody to run the program. We know that. You need somebody to run the program, and it is July the 11th, and you're not going to be able to bring in somebody on July the 11th. At this point, you're going to have to assign an interim. That is David Braun, who is the defensive coordinator for the Wildcats, on the staff of Pat Fitzgerald. So Pat Fitzgerald apparently is the scapegoat for this, because the other assistants are being retained. Is that saying that they did not know what was happening, but Pat Fitzgerald did know what was happening? It's a tough situation because you have to have some leadership there now. You can bet your bottom dollar this group is going to be scrutinized up and down, left and right. They are going to be monitored, and there is much more to come as far as Northwestern and their football program is concerned. It should be an interesting Big Ten Media Day when it's time for the Wildcats to hit the dais in Indianapolis coming up at the end of the month.
I'm curious what the president of Northwestern learned over the weekend. He made his decision to suspend Pat Fitzgerald 2 weeks on Friday. Now, that was what we knew then. Over the weekend, there was the Daily Northwestern story, which was really, really good. Another group of three players who played from 05 to 09, alleging racism. He had a letter from the quote-unquote entire Northwestern football team backing and defending Pat Fitzgerald. I know that the president met with one of the so-called accusers of the hazing, and maybe that tipped the scales. I don't know, but it sure was a big time about face. Matt in Fairfax on the text line, please interact if you choose. It was a lose-lose situation for Pat. If he knew, he's got to go. If he didn't, he's got to go. You're the leader of the program. You got to know the ins and outs, period.
Yeah. 96-63, and this is an interesting byproduct of this here in 2023 with portals and everything, transfers, et cetera, going on. But 96-63 asks, do you think they kept all the assistant coaches so a lot of the players will stay? Double-edged sword here, perhaps. Listen, you got to have somebody to coach this football team. I mean, it's 2 weeks until Big Ten Media Days. It's three and a half weeks until camps get started. It's too late to bring in somebody at this time. Hitting the ground running, it's too late. You've got to go with what you have. So, I mean, that's 1A of it. Even last night, as soon as Pat Fitzgerald, and as soon as reports came out that Fitzgerald was fired, many people saying first thing was, oh, let's get recruits. Let's go after them. Let's go after the 85 that are on scholarship for Northwestern. You know, it's kind of a, you know, it's too bad. But that's the reality of 2023 big-time college athletics right now. Am I wrong?
No. And those who are wondering if maybe Iowa can pluck a player or two, right now Iowa is at 85 scholarships. So unless something changes, that's not going to happen, nor will I expect it to.
No, and have not heard anything about Northwestern players leaving as of yet, have not heard anything about Northwestern recruits leaving as of yet. Will it happen? Yeah, more than likely. Listen, it's 2023, as I just mentioned. There are going to be players that are going to exit the program, even at this late date. Maybe even choose to sit out. Ooh, sitting out a year. Wow. 319-366-1600. Les Miles is available, says 8186. The message boards last night were very interesting. There were a few screenshots of them. Of course, Urban Meyer, the number one choice of Northwestern, according to one thread out there. Don't think that is going to happen anytime soon. Today, there are certain people on the faculty committees at Northwestern that want the entire probe and the report released. I think that is more, Mark, due to the fact that Northwestern, being a private institution, as we know, it is the only private institution among Big Ten schools. They aren't obligated to release that. And I think that the six are encouraging that just so, you know, you don't have that to hide behind. Just get it out in the open. If people want to see it, they can see it, they can read it, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe it will help other programs from having this problem befall their particular institution. I don't know. That would be my first guess.
Yeah, that's fine if Northwestern wants to do that. I don't need to see it.
I don't
either. What's been done is done. The details, maybe not left to the imagination, but enough so that the president thought that Pat Fitzgerald had to go. So what's done is done.
Do you think Fitzgerald should leave this alone and not fight it? Asks 80835 on the text line. This is only going to get worse. I think if he does, and more has to come out about what happened, and it's hard to read this. I think it's a voice to text here. I think the bottom line is if Fitzgerald chooses to fight this, more is going to come out. From what I'm reading between the lines here. So I would agree. I would agree. And certainly not the first coach to have to make this decision, and more than likely will not be the last coach to have to make this decision.
Pat's trying to recoup as much as that $42 million as possible. I don't think he sees a path, to retain his head coaching position. It's all about the $42 million. He maybe is or isn't owed.
So he's not pulling a Bob Huggins at this point.
I did not resign. I did not resign. I didn't fire the form of paperwork.
My wife did it. Oh, brother. Oh, man, that's a whole different story. 3:23 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. We're going to talk some baseball coming up here in just a little bit. As I mentioned earlier on, this is not the unofficial official Big Ten preseason poll that the institution in Ohio puts out. This is from the 24/7 folks, of which David Eicholt's involved, Sean Bach is involved, et cetera, et cetera. And they all got together and voted for their Big Ten Player of the Year, their offensive and defensive preseason players of the year, their coach, preseason coach of the year, as well as the order of finish in the Big Ten, just for fun and giggles. Pretty much the way you'd think it would be. As far as the Big Ten West is concerned, this panel, which, includes a lot of folks. I'm not sure how many exactly. 19, I believe, is, yes, 19 people that cover Big Ten football. Wisconsin was the pick as the Western Division champion, just edging out Iowa. Wisconsin with 10 of the 19 first-place votes, Iowa got the other 9. Minnesota picked 3rd ahead of Illinois, with Nebraska 5, Purdue 6, and I think it's no surprise Northwestern is at number 7. On the east side of things, Michigan and Ohio State 1-2. Michigan just edging out Ohio State. Penn State, a very strong third. Maryland, fourth. Michigan State, fifth, with Rutgers, sixth. And Tom Allen and Indiana coming in at number seven. Big Ten preseason player of the year, really no shock. Marvin Harrison Jr., the wide receiver out of Ohio State, as he edges out Michigan running back Blake Corum for that honor. Third, by the way, goes to a guy that has not even, I believe, taken a snap in a Big Ten football game. Quarterback Kyle McCord of Ohio State is the third pick for Big Ten Player of the Year. Ahead of J.J. McCarthy and Braylon Allen, by the way. Again, Kyle McCord has never taken a snap, but he's third. Interesting. Interesting. What do you think about that, Mark?
I think about, as you would expect, not the latter with the Ohio State quarterback necessarily, but I think you can flip a coin between Iowa and Wisconsin, maybe throw Minnesota in there. But Iowa has to go to Madison, and I think that's what tipped people towards Wisconsin's way, and I think people are head over heels over Luke Fickell. We'll see what he does.
There's Don Newton of Illinois, the terrific interior defensive lineman. He is the Big Ten preseason defensive player of the year, just edging out Cooper DeJean, the corner from Iowa and the pride of Otebolt, Arthur, Battle Creek, Ida Grove. Big Ten preseason coach of the year. He has not coached a game in the Big Ten. That is Luke Fickell of Wisconsin, who beat out Jim Harbaugh, Ryan Day. Kirk Ferentz got three votes, and Matt Rhule, who also has not coached a Big Ten football game, got one vote. So there you go. Food for thought out there. I know you love, Mark, early preseason polls. They are your favorite thing in the world.
Well, looking at this more in detail, each division in the Big Ten, these 19 media members were almost split. Michigan had 10 first-place votes, Ohio State 9. Same thing in the West. Wisconsin, 10 first-place votes, Iowa 9. A little flip here and there, you would have had a different prediction. But a prediction is all it is.
Very true. Very, very true. 0835, before we get to Mark with an Emil Sideway scoreboard update, I see people trying to justify LeVar Woods as the next Northwestern coach. Yeah, he's had his name bantered out there. Oh, man. That would be, this is going to be a tough situation to go into. Also, not only the coming out today, the fact that Northwestern, at least some of the folks behind the scenes at Northwestern, would like to see that report come out as far as the public is concerned, but they would also like to see the multi-million dollar renovation at Ryan Field be halted for the present time. I'm not sure that can happen. There are a lot of logistics involved with doing a construction project of that scope. I don't anticipate that happening, but you never, ever know. All right, what we do know is we need to get to Mark for an Emil Sideway scoreboard update, including some wrestling news, which is always great to talk about on All-Star Tuesday. It's brought to you by Emil Sideway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. Emil's, of course, located right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. And stop out by the patio. Say hi to Jamie and Dave and everybody over there. They do a great job. Chris as well. What do we got?
Yeah, the Big Ten Conference has announced the opponent rotation for the upcoming Big Ten wrestling season. It was announced Iowa will host Minnesota, Penn State, Purdue, and Wisconsin. And the Hawks will travel for road duels against Illinois, Michigan, Nebraska, and Northwestern. Complete schedule will be released once finalized. Of course, the jewel on that is Penn State at Iowa. The MLB draft continued today. Another Hawkeye taken, right-handed pitcher Ty Langenberg, was selected in the 11th round by the Minnesota Twins. Will he find his way to Cedar Rapids? We'll see. And finally, Iowa State has entered an agreement with Back Pocket Brewing. Does this sound familiar?
Oh, gosh.
In its first licensed deal for name, image, and likeness revenues and other revenues, actually. So there you have it, Scott.
I am officially tired of the back and forth of the breweries and the et cetera, We know Iowa Vodka is coming out soon. That was tipped off a couple weeks ago. So that announcement should be coming in. What's next? Foods on a stick? Oh, for Iowa and Iowa State. See where I went there, Isaac? You see where I went there?
A little tie into Spencer on Sports and the State Fair there.
And I did, didn't I? I tied it in well.
It's all one circle. Today's show.
What do you call the Iowa State Brew? I mean, the Iowa Swarm was spot on. What do you call the Iowa State Brew?
The one they have now is called Ames Lager.
Yes, but this is different.
And then it's a different one. I don't know if I've seen a name yet.
Yeah, there's a name on it. I saw it on the can, but I'm gonna have to dig, and I can't talk and dig at the same time. So you're going to have to dig over there, Isaac. Isaac is on it, Mark. He is on it.
Yeah.
So what's next to come out? We'll see. It's like an arms race right now between the two sanctions. Do you have it?
Yes. Clone Fest craft beer, I guess, is what I see. I think that's right.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
It's a craft beer.
Yeah, it's called Clone Fest.
So how many days until Iowa announces their craft beer will be coming out? By the weekend? Can we finalize this before we button things up on Friday night?
I think they might have something in a couple of hours with the way the back and forth has been going the past month or so. I think it wasn't the same day Iowa announced the Hawkeye or the vodka or whatever. It was the same day as the Ames Lager got announced, I'm pretty sure. It was just a couple hours later.
Yeah. The Swarm Tenderloin is next. 0835. Oh, brother. Yes. Oh, well, there you go. Matt Fairfax, I stand corrected. A local brewery already has a craft beer for Iowa. Now, I don't know if it's tied into the Swarm Collective, but there you go. See, it's already happened. Already happened. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. 3:33, we're going to take a break. Come back. Baseball. We're going to talk some baseball. Home Run Derby from last night. All-Star Game coming up tonight. What baseball looks like right now at the pseudo halfway point. So stay with us. More to come. It is the Gym Class here on KGYM for a Tuesday. Back with more right after this.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we're going to have a sunny and toasty day with temperatures in the mid to upper 80s. It will be a bit humid out there at times. As we head into tonight, we'll have some clouds passing through with a chance for a few spotty showers overnight. The chance for rain really increases as we head into morning tomorrow. We will have the chance for scattered showers and storms, some of which may be strong and produce gusty winds and hail. Storms will wind down with another chance for a few scattered storms in the evening. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
The biggest pro football contests in Vegas are back and bigger than ever with $14 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. Enter Nevada, play from anywhere.
Two ways to win and no rake. Play Circa Million, make five picks against the spread each week with quarterly and full season payouts, or join Circa Survivor, where you select one team each week straight up, last the longest to win it all.
$14 million in guaranteed prizes. Visit circusports.com for details.
Make sure your cooling system is ready for the long haul this summer with preventative maintenance from E&J Geothermal. This smart step keeps you ahead of frustrating emergencies, is proven to extend the life of your cooling system, and can catch a small issue before it turns into a huge expense. Plus, E&J Geothermal is an expert in helping maintain your cooling system. Don't let the summer heat win. Schedule preventative maintenance today or ask E&J Geothermal about installing a new energy-efficient Climate Master geothermal system. Find out more at ejgeothermal.com.
There's still time to landscape with 11% off lawn and garden supplies at Menards. Get huge last call savings on Bonnie plants, all on sale. Hurry, Goodwill supplies last. Landscape around trees and flowers with interlock edgers. Only 99 cents each after 11% off. Then brighten your landscape with LED Anoka solar lights. Just $3.99 each after rebate. Good through July 16th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
And we welcome you back at 3:35 Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM, presented by Tobacco Community Credit Union, 319-366-1600 here on the program. yes, it was. I don't know if that was a reference, Joe. I don't know. Could have been. I'll let you decide. Let's talk some baseball, Mark. We've got Home Run Derby last night in the books, and now the All-Star Game. The big show coming up tonight at T-Mobile Park in Seattle. That is the subject of our poll question, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Steve Anderson and his team, Highway 1 West in Iowa City. Pretty simple question, dealing with the All-Star Game tonight.
It is indeed. Which league emerges victorious tonight at T-Mobile Park? Be the American or National League?
American League on a roll right now. You got to think sooner or later the National League is going to turn this thing around or at least get a victory. I don't know. I mean, listen, it's an exhibition game, right? Both managers are going to want to get every position player in that is available. Hopefully, I'm just hoping Mitch Keller gets a little bit of airtime coming up this evening. The Cedar Rapids native and pitcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates making his All-Star debut coming up this evening. That's what I'm hoping for. But we'll have it for you tonight at 6 o'clock. All the festivities from Seattle. And they had a fun time last night. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., the winner in the Home Run Derby last night, as he outlasted Randy Arozarena of the Tampa Bay Rays in the final, as those two and others clobbering home runs left and right, mainly left, as far as T-Mobile Park is concerned. Did you enjoy it last night? I know you talked about this with Spencer, and kudos to Spencer for getting it right. He got Vlad right.
I said on his show he hit a home run with his bracket. I thought all people would have appreciated that, Scott.
I like it. I do like it.
But yeah, I thought it was pretty fun. Particularly the first round with Julio Rodriguez, that was electric. I think him going just crazy. In Seattle, the stadium was really loud, it seemed like. And I think I said this with Spencer as well, but I think I really underestimated him being at Seattle, how big of a part that would have played in him being very successful, because no one would have beaten him.
But then he got gassed.
And then he got gassed, yeah.
That's the problem with this. And I know that everybody under, and I'm going to be called an old fuddy-duddy, and maybe I am. I like the old method of home run derby that they started off with. Now, I don't like the 10 outs, but maybe raise it to 15 outs. That way you can conserve your swings. And it's not just because my guy, Luis Robert, got taken out in the second round and looked like he was gasping for air in between swings in the second round. That's not the point. I think that's, and you hit it on the head with Rodriguez. He came out like a house of fire, and he lost it. I mean, he went nuts in the first round, and he didn't have anything left in the tank. That was it. And I think if you go with the old method that they did it, okay, you're not going to get the 40 home runs. I understand that. Then you've got the whole, okay, you get 30 seconds if you do this. You get 30 seconds if you hit two, four, 40 dingers. Just give them 15 outs. Whoever hits the most, good luck, and you move on, and you don't have to expend all your energy if they want a true three-round home run derby, in my opinion. So let me have it, 319-366-1600. Am I a fuddy-duddy?
Well, we know you are, Scott.
Thank you.
First of all, Spencer is not the only one at KGYM who picked Guerrero.
That is true.
Look back on yesterday's podcast. That was me. The thing is, Spencer one-upped me, and he had the finals matchup perfect.
Yes, he did.
I think that's more impressive. To have a Rosarena in there. But, yeah, sheepishly, I will say, yeah, I picked Vlad, too. As far as the Derby itself, clearly the highlight was Rodriguez in the first round.
That's what people are going to remember.
I mean, 41 home runs, who does that? And he did get gassed. I mean, Pete Alonso has won two of these. He looked like he was already beaten before he took a swing. And I think he had 20-some, right?
Yeah, 22. 20,
23.
22,
maybe. 23. One of those yeah. two. Yeah,
yeah. He knew going up that this isn't going to happen.
No one could have beaten that. No one could have done that.
No, J-Rod was the highlight for sure. And to see him drop off to 20 was – maybe not all too surprising, but a little bit. I thought he would give it a better run. I know the folks in Seattle would like to see him go further. But Vlad it is, first father's son to win the Derby.
Remember those pictures of father and son back when Dad won it? Vladimir Guerrero Sr. Won his All-Star, or won his home run derby. I have to laugh because it was a microcosm of the Chicago White Sox season last night when Luis Robert had nobody to come over and, you know, at least, you know, hit him on the helmet, you know, tap him. Hey, nice job. Somebody go over there and say something.
Robert was kind of standoffish.
Well, maybe nobody likes him. I don't know. But that was kind of the way. That was the whole microcosm of the White Sox season.
Robert did really.
One criticism of the event, I may or may not agree with you, but I can't tell which ball's going out and which one isn't. Maybe give me a split screen. Simultaneously, I can see. You know, that swing, that was a home run. Or no, that was a warning track flyout. Maybe it's not a big deal, but the counter was behind, and that's my only criticism.
Yeah, it was kind of hard to keep track of. You just saw the bat hit the ball. For Julio Rodriguez, it was easy to know which one. It was everything he made contact with, and that first round was a home run. Unfortunately, I think Adley Rutschman was really entertaining. I think it was awesome. He was awesome that he switched. Robert was in the first round there, and Robert also came out with a little bit of a fire in that first round. Because I think Rutschman had 27, 28 or something like that.
And then Robert went crazy. And Rutschman, though, had his dad pitch, and I thought that was cool.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I thought that was really a neat story in there as well.
Yeah, Rutschman was highlight 1B, no doubt about it. Switch hitter, when he hit 7 of 8 right-handed after batting left-handed for most of the time, that was impressive.
It was impressive. Now, a lot of people did have, like you talked about, some criticism of the way ESPN did. I don't know a better way. It's tough because it's rapid fire. That's another reason why I would like to see it go back to the old method. And I am not the only one. Thank you, 0835. They agree with the old format. Not sure I like the rapid fire like we saw to get as many home runs as possible. I like 10 outs over the clock. I would put it up to 15. I would put it up to 15 outs. But you save some energy. You save swings. Yeah. ESPN2 had the split screen of the batter and something that looked like the flight tracker they use in PGA. It was pretty cool because you could tell where the ball was landing. Yeah, they had TrackMan.
I was not aware.
They had TrackMan on ESPN2. I was listening to the first part on, the first showdown, the first matchup on ESPN Radio. They did a very good job. Justin says, Vladdy almost got a raw deal with no rest. I'd like to see that change at least. Thing went 2.5 hours, for heaven's sake. crazy. And Kyle says the Cuban players do not like Luis Robert because of his relationship with the government. Okay, I'll go with that. He looked like he was the lone wolf out there last night. Ralph in Riverside says the old home run derbies were fun to watch, but this new setup has created a lot more excitement with the head-to-head matchups. I'm old enough to say that I've enjoyed both. I do enjoy both. Yeah, I do enjoy both, but I like the old one better because I think you get a truer champion with less swings. Julio Rodriguez is going to be what people remember the 2023 home run derby for. At his home ballpark, he had 41.
If you want to talk about the old ones, give me the old ones in black and white. Aaron against Mantle, and all the big superstars participated.
Mays, they were all in there. That was called home run derby, by the way. ESPN used to show those in the afternoon, like at 2:30.
They did.
There was a lot of great programming before ESPN2 and ESPN Classic and ESPNU and all that. It wasn't all sports centers during the day. They had that great programming. Isaac, look that up. That is your homework for tonight. Go to YouTube or wherever and look up old home run derby videos, okay?
Sounds good.
He's not going to do it, Mark. He's smiling. 347 here on the Jim Class on KGYM, 319-366-1600. So that's last night. Now we look forward to the actual game tonight as the American League and National League will go at it. Just terrific lineups up and down the line. Garrett Cole is going to be on the mound for the American League, correct? And Zach Gallen is going to get the start as far as the National League is concerned. And you just look at these and you go, man alive, do I really want to be a pitcher going up against this lineup? Let's see, your first three, if you're a National League pitcher, you come out, you just got to face Semien, Ohtani, and a Rosarena, 1-2-3. I mean, that's, yeah, good luck. Good luck on that.
Well, I think the National League has a better lineup, and it has in the past, but the American League has won 9 in a row. Previous to that, it had streaks of 5 or 7, something like that. There's no way of knowing who's going to win this game. If you want to bet on it, you got a problem, in my opinion. I think the National League has an advantage, but it has in the past as well. So roll the ball out there and see what happens.
In our day, the National League never lost, Mark. I mean,
right?
Being an American League guy, it hurt every year. Also, I just crave that one brief appearance of Harold Baines every year batting because he was the only White Sox, as we know, that would be representing the team. And he'd always get an at-bat, and he'd always usually hit the first pitch somewhere, either for a hit or an out.
Maybe just my perception, but they played it for keeps back then.
Well, Ray Fosse.
A.K.A. Pete Rose and Ray Fosse.
Exactly.
And they did play extra innings, Bud Selig. Remember, was it Jim Hickman that drove in the winning run for the National League? He of the Cubs. And a lot of good games in that era.
There were a lot of good games. Good National League. You talk about the American League, but the National League top three, Acuna, Freeman, and Betts. I mean, that strikes fear in your heart. You know you have a good lineup when Luis Arias is hitting sixth. Who's, well, I mean, Luis is down to what, about 385 now? He's kind of been slumping as of late.
Yeah, right.
Slumping. Yeah, air quotes. Thank you, Isaac, for that. Still having a very, very good year. And a lot of Rangers and a lot of Dodgers and Braves are dominating the two teams this evening. And it should be entertaining. That's all I hope it is tonight, is entertaining. I hope the baseball looks good coming out of this thing. I hope there's not a tie going into the 10th, and then we either A, call it, B, put a runner on at second base, things like that. I just want to see somebody win this thing in 9 innings and have a good time doing it. Am I wrong?
Perfect.
And if it's the American League, great. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. As we are going to get ready to take a break, we'll come back and have a little bit more for you here on a Tuesday. So stay with us. More to come right after this.
When you can find everything you need at prices you can afford, that's totally Target. It's that feeling when quality Good and Gather ingredients on the barbecue bring family around the table. Or when favorite day after practice snacks let you celebrate the whole team for less. It's when saving more on Up and Up sunscreen means more fun in the sun. And when Target Circle Rewards program gives you more perks on what you buy most and is always free to join, that's totally Target.
At Lowe's, we're always bringing pros more ways to save. Right now, get up to 40% off select bathroom faucets and vanities. Plus, buy Southwire Romex Simple 12-gauge indoor wire at our everyday low price of $109. Head to your local Lowe's or visit us at Lowe's.com for more deals you can't beat. Because Lowe's knows savings, Lowe's knows pros. Valid 7/6 through 7/12 while supplies last. Selection varies by location, U.S. only.
Will they find a home? Sponsored by Geico. Susan has always wanted to live in a chateau.
I like a certain je ne sais quoi.
While Jake is more into the Cape Cod style home.
It's a classic look.
Compromise is tough, but these two won't have to compromise when they bundle home and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and they could save even more. In the end, Susan and Jake found a Cape Cod style home where they will only speak French.
Bonjour, je t'aime, merci beaucoup, and cordon bleu.
You'll get better with time.
Bundling without compromise at geico.com.
It's Wrangler season out there. T-shirt days, denim jacket nights. A pair of broken-in jeans you could live in. Open roads, endless horizons, no destinations. This is when adventure starts calling. And you need to be ready in jeans that are made for the unpredictable journey that we call life. Wrangler, for the ride of life. Shop our newest styles today at Wrangler.com.
Back at 3:53 on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Coming up tomorrow on Sports Longest Day, we've got a great show for you tomorrow. We'll wrap up the All-Star Game, and then it is our Caddy Smack on the Gym Class. Coming up tomorrow, Brian Haas will join us here in studio. And going to talk with Alex Shockey, the former University of Iowa golfer out of Omaha, who took part in the 2023 123rd edition of the United States Open at the Los Angeles Country Club. Missed the cut, but had a great time. And we'll learn all about the LA Country Club and everything that Alex went through over there in Los Angeles. So that'll be coming up on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Looking forward to talking with Alex tomorrow, just to hear all about the Los Angeles Country Club. I think it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks since that competition, but the memory's got to be fresh for Alex, and he shall share those with us.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Before we leave baseball, this also coming out today from Seattle, the Major League Baseball Players Association is wanting to add some time to the pitch clock for the postseason, Mark. They want to add, quote, a few extra seconds, unquote. That is according to the head of the Baseball Players Union, Tony Clark. The reasoning is that they do not want games to be influenced or decided by pitch clock violations when it gets down to a possible Game 7 as far as the playoffs are concerned. Commissioner Rob Manfred has not said one way or the other whether he supports this or is against it, although reports are saying that Manfred did not seem to be on board with the idea of adding time.
I'm not on board either. I mean, what about the regular season? Games have been impacted by the clock. Not tremendously, but they have been. And I've always been opposed to having different rules in the postseason than you do in the regular season.
Is it working? Games this year so far are averaging 2 hours and 37 minutes, down almost 30 minutes from a year ago. And we have not seen games played as quickly in 25 years. So, yes, the pitch clock is helping as far as that is concerned. And I think I'm with you. I mean, you can't change the rules when you go into the playoffs. You got to stick with the same exact menu that got you there. So I'm with you. About Home Run Derby, 3830 says you missed the oohs and ahs with this format. And also says that's how why the kid got hit in the outfield. Those kids in the outfield last night and all these home run derbies, I mean, I worry about them because there are some shots coming their way. And for the most part, they're just kind of running around out there. I don't think we got anybody hit last night, but there have been people hit in the past. So I hate to see that. Hate to see that, but I had a great home run derby last night, and hopefully it will be a terrific all-star game coming up this evening, and we'll see who the MVP is. We'll see who wins. Thank goodness the World Series is not riding on who wins this thing tonight. So great stuff. We'll have golf talk coming up tomorrow, including today was the first day where the Senate committee talking to the folks in the PGA and the DP World Tour, as well as the Public Investment Fund, about possible violations as far as being a monopoly is concerned. Some very interesting stuff coming out of Washington, D.C. today. We might get to that coming up tomorrow. And get your questions ready to go for Brian on tomorrow's program. Guys, have a good night. Enjoy the All-Star game, and we'll talk tomorrow, all right?
Sounds great. Talk then.
You've been listening to The Gym Class right here on KGYM.
With summer in full swing, now's the perfect time to head to the ballpark. Score great deals on great seats from our friends at Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN. Every crack of the bat, every diving catch, every heart-pounding play.